Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
I'm reminded of the somewhat hot debate that you and I got into briefly yesterday with regard to Dylan Brooks potentially trying to injure someone. That's very different than standing in someone's huddle. But I do believe this. Look, you're playing sports. At some level,
it's sports.
At some level, even though it's intense, it's urgent.
Sports, man.
You badly want to win. I do think that some, and I hate the word decorum. I really don't like it because it's too stuffy for my taste.
Decorum.
But on some level, you have to remember you're playing sports and there are rules. And you have to fit into that box. So I could go over to the other team's huddle. I could intentionally try to hurt someone. I could go over to the other team's locker room. No one's going to stop me. I could do all of these things, but don't. It's almost like, and I don't want to get uber serious here, but like I've always wondered about the phrase war crimes. I'm like, how do you all go out there with machine guns and then you got rules?
Well, there are like, rules.
There are.
There should be.
And supposedly there's like, well, we can shoot other people, but we're not supposed to cross that line over there. Okay, that's different, but this is the sports version of that. Like, dude, please just fit in the box for a second. I get it. You're a live wire. You're an amazing athlete. You badly want to win. But yeah, don't try to hurt other people. Don't go get on the other team's bench. Don't be a moron. Like, we're trying to enjoy this and have it be entertaining. Be physical. Do what you need to do, but not by any means necessary.
Yeah, exactly. Unwritten rules is another way to put it. And the NBA has the code. And Steve Kerr talked about how Dylan Brooks broke the code. And he absolutely did when he fouled GP2 in the head when GP2 was exposed and in the air. He broke the code. There aren't that many other codes in the NBA. One of them is if you're up by 8 with 7 seconds left and you get the ball back, you don't go down and shoot a three or dunk. You just dribble out the game. That's the code, right? And you see it all the time. Even though you might be on the side with the team up 8 and you're laying 8.5 and you're thinking, just go shoot a layup. Just give me a layup so we can cover this number. But they don't do that because it's the code. And maybe the code also can be, or maybe it is, like if we're going to huddle, then you don't come and get in our huddle because you're going to huddle. And if, okay, now I'm going to get in your huddle and you're going to get in my huddle. Now we're going to push each other. It's like, can we have a conversation with teammates and not have you like ear hustling and trying to get
right in
the mix?
It's think
just kind of lame.
That's a very good example that you bring up. Like I think it's kind of one of those things where you almost, despite the intensity, keep the headspace open for, look, they're trying to compete and win. We're trying to compete and win. Let's do that with our group and let them do that with their group. And then, right, like then we go out there and compete and may the best team win. There has to be some sort of a baseline respect for the process, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I like your use of decorum, but it had me thinking about like which fork is the salad fork and,
well,
you know.
Nobody knows that.
Exactly.
Nobody knows.
Well, the one with the three tines, I think, but I never know if I'm setting the table, which one goes where and the rest of it. I don't have a lot of decorum, So
yeah, and me neither. But I think, don't you, like,
outside in, I believe, right?
Right. Like, as the meal goes, you get the silverware that's closer to your plate. Is that right?
I think so.
Yeah. Okay.
I
never went to any of those classes.
Anytime I get to a restaurant and there's more than just, you know, you can give me two forks, a knife, and a spoon. Okay. I can work with that. But if we've got multiple forks, multiple spoons, multiple knives, and if there's silverware across the top, now I'm going
to
get confused.
Well, no, that's not supposed to be there. That's not, yeah, we're not doing that. Smaller fork is the salad fork?
I thought so.
Bigger fork is for the meat. Or the pasta.
Yeah.
Okay.
Again, I'm not known for my decorum.
Hey, where does this fit into decorum? Actually, Granny just sent this to us. I'd love to know your interpretation. So the Warriors just sent out on social media a video of the guys getting on the plane, and it's a slow-mo of Buddy Hield, not Kyle Anderson. It's a different slow-mo. It's a slow-mo video of Buddy Hield walking toward the plane, and he's wearing a T-shirt that just says, excluding Buddy. Excluding Buddy. Anyone? What does that mean?
So after game three, when the Warriors won without Jimmy Butler, Jimmy Butler posted on Instagram like the Batman logo, like the bat symbol, but with the Curry brand logo instead of the bat signal. And he said, thanks, Batman and team, excluding Buddy.
Excluding Buddy.
And didn't Buddy like pine that he wanted to be Albert?
Alfred,
thank you.
Yes, and Jimmy, yes, and Jimmy rejected that roundly.
Right. Jimmy postgame said, no, Buddy's not in this. He's the evil guy, like the Joker, not Alfred.
I am quickly growing to love the Jimmy Butler Buddy Hield relationship. And if you think there's anything that's in any way serious about it, you should see the moment that the two of them shared by the bench right after the final buzzer last night. There is a whole lot of connection that is based in the way these two make fun of one another.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, I didn't see that exchange. I did.
Oh.
I was watching right at the final buzzer and the celebration, the confetti, and I looked over, and I wanted to see what Steve Kerr was going to do, you know, handshake or no handshake, and it's just game four, so there was no handshake. He immediately turns and beelines toward the tunnel. He takes about four steps toward the tunnel, and they're sitting on the bench alone, Wardell, Stephen Curry, and Steve pauses, and he puts out his hand, and it's a big handshake, high five, and you can see Steph kind of screaming, like, yeah, yeah.
Right.
And you can see Steve's big smile on his face, and they have a quick moment with the handshake, and then Steve is just gone.
By the way, I want all of you to hear what happened when they all got into the locker room last night. Take a listen to this. This is Steve Kerr in the locker room addressing a certain Buddy Hield situation. Take a listen.
Hey, fellas, I'm going to utter some words that have never been spoken before by anybody on earth. Buddy Hield, you set the tone defensively.
I'm going to utter some words that no one has ever uttered on earth. Buddy Hield, you set the tone defensively.
That's pretty awesome.
And then the whole place goes nuts.
Yeah?
He was very important last night. He was very important last night.
Absolutely.
And that comes from somebody who at one point hit the side of the backboard with a three-point shot.
Well, that's how he opened up. He opened up with a heat check three, 90 seconds in the game when no one is hot enough to have a heat check. And then he tried to bank one in from the corner. In between, he had a couple of steals. So the Buddy Hield experience to me is just fascinating. We talked about it a little bit yesterday before the show, and the Jimmy Butler, Buddy Hield part of it. I do think that where they come together and they can kind of respect each other at a deep level is just how much they play and how hard they play. Because that comment from Steve Kerr, Buddy's out there trying on defense. And he did set the tone defensively by, you know, getting in front of Rockets players. And he takes every possession and he plays really hard.
And I think they needed it, because if you think about the switch that they made to go from Moses Moody to Buddy Hield in the starting lineup, I don't know what the thought process was. Is it as simple as, hey, Moses is cold, let's try someone else? But the risk you take there is Moses Moody has become such a wonderful on-ball defender, And then you put Buddy in, you're immediately thinking to yourself, are we trying to hit some threes but losing something on the defensive end? So for him to come out and, as Steve said, set the tone defensively, that's huge. That's huge, because that's the risk you were taking. That's the gamble with that move.
Right, and I do think that it's partly faith in Buddy, who is playing well, but it's also, I think Moses is in a pretty deep funk. And I remember noting in the second half when he came out, he played 8 minutes in the first half. He went 1 for 5, and he just doesn't look to have the same level of confidence and aggressiveness on either side. And then he came out in the second half, and it was a quick trigger for Moses Moody. So
exactly.
I don't know if he's falling all the way out of the rotation, but it's pretty clear to me that for now anyway, he's lost his starting spot. And it just feels like they've lost a little faith in what Moses is doing.
I would think, but I mean, he's still going to get in there, and you know, we've seen him hit shots before. If he can find it, I think he's still an important player, because he is a two-way player, and who knows where the matchups are going to take us. And let's not act today like all of a sudden Buddy Hield is Mr. Consistency over here. Who knows where this story is going to go next? And obviously the next chapter is tomorrow night, and it'll be right here on 95.7 The Game. Let's go to T in Oakland. Hi, T. What's going on? Thank you for calling.
Hey, guys. How you doing, man?
What's up?
Yesterday, Mark, you highlighted a video for Dibs with Dylan Brooks, you know, double swiping, trying to hurt Steph. Last night, I don't know if you guys saw it, but you were there, so you probably did. When he reached in and tried to get the ball, I think he was trying to do something else right there. Then the other observation I saw, you were talking about players talking about huddles and stuff. Second half, Draymond was actually talking to Atari Eason. I read his lips. He was kind of trying to say, you know, my bad, bro. I really wasn't trying to hurt you. And Iman Thompson going to walk away from the free throw line and come and tell his teammate, hey, you don't need to be talking to him. Right there shows inexperience. Man, you're supposed to be concentrating on making that free throw that you missed instead of going over there telling, you know, your teammate that you don't need to be talking to Draymond. So what I think happens is the Rockets pay too much attention to stuff that doesn't matter as opposed to concentrating on the stuff that's going to win the game. And being that the Warriors have so much experience, they don't let that type of stuff get under their skin because they've been there before, you know. So I'm really looking for the Warriors to close this thing out in Houston, because we older guys, we need some rest. And I'm going to stick with Steve Kerr, the decisions that he makes, because as I always say, I'm never going to second-guess a guy who has 4 championships and 5 as a player, which equals 9. So thank you for letting me call.
Hey, T, thank you. I think those are some pretty astute observations, actually. And what he's, you know, that thing he pointed out at the end, where Draymond, who's already gotten tangled up in the previous half with Tari Eason, and it's what led to the flagrant foul and all of the discussion about it, Draymond did have that moment where he was over with Tari Eason in the second half. And I don't know, a lot of people have been like, Dre's apologizing. I don't know if he's apologizing. I doubt he used the word I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But I think there was a veteran player, young player thing that Draymond has shown he values. Like, in a lot of press conferences, he'll talk about the opponent and be like, you know, this guy, like he did it with Jaren Jackson a couple of weeks ago after Memphis got beat. He's like, Jaren's got to learn to defend without fouling. He's a good young player. Draymond's taking that elder statesman thing, which is funny sometimes because of the way he acts.
Yeah.
But he does it. And I think he was trying to take a moment and just explain the situation, but pay it a little respect and give a little nod in some sort of a way to Tari. And yes, Amen Thompson came over and tried to break it up. And Draymond shoved him out of the way. He's like, get out of here. I'm talking to this guy. Bottom line, I think T's right. Amen is bothered by all of this. Point Warriors.
Well, I think a lot of them, and you know, T's point is well made. And if you look at the guys who are playing a lot, Jabari Smith Jr., he's 21. He'll be 22 in May. Amen Thompson is 22. Alperen Şengün is 22.
Yep.
Jalen Green is 22. And I don't know if you remember when you were 22 and you had your S together, no doubt, but not like you did when you were 30 or 32. And so, you know, just a certain amount of maturity. And these guys are in the biggest spot in their professional lives, a playoff series in a building against a bunch of OGs who, many of whom are champions. And so, yeah, you want to get every edge possible. And if you're Amen Thompson, you're probably thinking part of that edge is, you know, making sure you don't consort with the enemy. And we got to make sure that we are, you know, totally at these guys and enemies the whole way. And, you know, these Draymond and Jimmy and Steph, they've all been in the league long enough to understand that there are moments where you can show, you know, grace and explain and be a vet and all the rest of it.
Yeah, no, no doubt about that. Again, none of this is all that much of a surprise. I don't know if this series is going to end tomorrow. I don't know if it's going to end on Friday. I think it's going to be one of those two. That would be my guess. And, you know, for those of us who do this for a living, dude, like, one of the reasons we love sports is because it surprises you so often. But this one hasn't. It's literally going exactly the way most of us thought, which is it's tight, it's competitive, it's super chippy. The Warriors have a little edge, and it's all based on their brains. And that's exactly what we're all seeing. And so when I hear, and by the way, Grandy, this Amen Thompson thing, was that after the game? When was that?
Yeah,
they're in trouble. They're in trouble. And they're not. It's not just as, oh, well, duh, Mark, they're down 3-1. No, they're in trouble because I think their minds are in the wrong place.
Well, I think that they're in trouble in part of because what you're saying, their minds, but also because if you look at the games that have taken place, like last night is the game that they're supposed to win. You shoot it great, and you don't turn it over a bunch, and you have your one unguardable guy play unguardably, and you get a contribution from Fred VanVleet that was not only unexpected but spectacular, and you held their best player, the best player, to a very mediocre game. That's the game that Houston is supposed to win. And then the other game that they were supposed to win, they actually did win, where you had Jalen Green go off and have a game like Fred VanVleet did last night where he was mostly unguardable, and the Warriors were ordinary, and the Warriors were able to kind of relax a bit because they had already earned the split. So that was the game that Houston was supposed to win, and they did. And then last night was the one that they had that game. You know, Grandy had the stat where 39 of the 48 minutes, the Rockets were unbelievably dominant. And I know he's cherry-picking minutes, but the Rockets would look at that game and say, outside of those two crazy bursts, we were the better team.
Right.
And yet you got down to the end, and you had an ill-timed three. You fouled a three-point shooter. And you made just enough mistakes. The backcourt pass that Steiny mentioned earlier, I had forgotten about. You had turnovers, you fouled shooters, and you lost the game.
I agree with the entire assessment, but my mind even goes a step further when you talk about all those things that are sort of frustrating for a team. Anytime you lose a game where you're like, dude, we should have had that game. Okay, my next question is, though, where's your mind after the game?
And if you're in the crapper,
but what are you focused on? If you're focused on, look, these are all the mistakes we made, but we're right there. We're heading home. Like, here's what we need to do different.
Right.
Okay, let's work with that. But where's Amen Thompson's mind?
On Draymond Green.
You're done.
Yep.
You're done.
It's going to be tough, you know.
Listen, it's 9 seconds of his life, so I don't know that that's what he's actually going to bed thinking about, but it is all, look, he brought it up. That's not what the question was about. And if he's on the plane today, heading for Houston, shaking his head, muttering to himself, because damn it, they let that Draymond, he gets away with this and that and the other, and he talks and he won't stop talking. If that's where your mind is, you're done. You're done. Draymond got you. He got you. That's exactly what he's trying to do. And so I take a lot of comfort out of that sound clip, actually.
Yeah, I mean, you can take comfort out of it. I take maximum comfort out of the fact that they're up 3-1 and that they won the game the way that they won it. And also, you know, the blueprint for Houston to win a game, it's a tough one. And you're asking either Jalen Green or you're asking Fred VanVleet to again have a game like they've already had, and their track record would not show you that that is something that happens all the time. Şengün can go for 34-14, and he might at home because he's that good and he has that much of an edge on most of the Warriors, but that's probably not going to be enough to to win three games, let alone one game.
Yeah, I mean, so much of this is the mental approach. So much of this is also just that coaching battle. And you know, I've said, I think Udoka is a good coach. I know right now that's not a popular thing to say because everyone thinks he's this awful human being who has sent his robots out to kill Steph Curry. But he's obviously done a very, very good job this year. But he's also been outcoached. He's totally been outcoached in the key moments by Steve Kerr. And I do think that one of them last night was not just that they went directly against Draymond Green in that final possession, but where they went at Draymond Green. Giving Şengün the ball out at the three-point line extended and having him try to shake down Draymond Green. Yes, he got off a decent shot, but I cannot think that that's your highest percentage point. Also, by the way, when you're down one, if you're down one, here's why I would have gone to Amen Thompson. If you're down one, I'm going to have somebody fly at the basket, because if they don't make that bucket, they might get fouled. They might get fouled, and a free throw trip in that situation, dude, all you got to do is make one or two, and you can extend this basketball game. But instead, you went at Draymond Green, and you knew damn well he was not going to foul, or they were not going to call it. And he took it personally. Here's Draymond, in fact, talking about that very final play.
You know, he likes the ISO right in the middle of the paint. You know, he started coming downhill. I gave a little ground. And Stack always tells us it's the time that you have to get serious. He says it's time to get, and you just try to pick that point, you know. I want to pick it too early where, you know, he's facing me. And now I pick up a cheap one, you know. So try to find that sweet spot and where to get serious, as Stack says. And I thought I found a good spot. He took a deep jump hook.
The breakdown there is so elite, and talking about Jerry Stackhouse, defensive coordinator, and as he's saying that, I'm watching the play, and, you know, at some point, you got to make a stand. And Draymond is shuffle, and he gets to about 13 feet from the hoop, and he gets his hand on him, and it's just, whoop, there's the wall, and Şengün's not going to move him off the spot. And so then you got to settle for that 11-footer, and, you know, Şengün would have loved a 6-footer, and Draymond probably would have wanted to push him out a little further, but if you're Draymond, you drew the line right there. This is where you're going to have to take the shot from. You mentioned Amen Thompson, not even on the court on that final sequence. So, yeah. And
that's surprising to me.
And I do think that your point is a good one about, like, give him the ball. Dude, he was going by people.
He was flying. Yep. He is such a good young player. And so, but I also get it from Udoka's standpoint. You look at Houston, that moment is built for their weakness. They don't know. And Reggie Miller was talking about this all throughout the broadcast. You're down one, you've got the ball. And the Rockets are maybe the only playoff team in the league where you're like, I don't know what we're doing. I don't know who we're giving it to. There's no other team in the playoffs right now where you don't know what's happening. Minnesota, here you go, Anthony.
Right.
Lakers, here's your two-man game with LeBron and Luka. We know exactly. Shai Gilgeous, we know what we're doing. Kawhi, Jokic,
yep.
We know exactly what we're doing. Steph Curry, Jimmy Butler. The Rockets are like,
I think they know, but the problem...
I think we're going to go to Şengün.
Well, I think that they're definitive in that that's their best play, but the problem, and as I'm watching it again and again, the problem with this approach is you don't have to double the goon. You've got Draymond Green. And I'm looking at
the goon.
So you've got Steven Adams fighting Kevon under the hoop before Şengün even shoots. They're already fighting for the rebound. And you've got Van Vliet, Brooks, and Smith Jr. all posted up waiting for a possible kick, but they're guarded because you don't need to help Draymond Green. So Şengün is working on Draymond. You don't need to double because Draymond's that good. So now you've got these three spot-up shooters who can't be spot-up shooters because they're being guarded by players who aren't going to help off of them. So, to your point, I do think, you know, outside of a Şengün one-on-one against Draymond, which is a good idea for Houston because he's that good, but the other one would be Amen to the hoop.
Yeah. He was unbelievable.
And he was going by everybody.
Yeah, he was flying over everybody.
So now if he goes by Gary, for example, now you're going to have to help, and now maybe you have a secondary option off of the Amen Thompson drive.
Let's go to Blake and Arinda. Hey, Blake, thank you for calling Willard and Dibs. What's happening?
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're good, man. What's happening?
Just driving the kiddo home from daycare, but I got a funny question for you, little off the serious topic.
All right.
Who do you think the league dislikes more, Dylan Brooks or Draymond Green?
Who do you think the league dislikes more, Draymond Green or Dylan Brooks?
It's a great question.
And that.
That's a great question.
You know,
Thank you, Buster.
I want to be thoughtful with my answer and say I don't think that they dislike either one of them.
It's not just the spirit of the question, and the answer is Dylan Brooks. I think that Dylan Brooks causes the league more consternation than Draymond Green. That would be my take.
I get where you're coming from. Yeah, I think you got to remember that Draymond Green is a much bigger name than Dylan Brooks. He's part of a much bigger property. Draymond Green makes more money for the league than Dylan Brooks does. So I guess I'll agree with Dibs from that standpoint. Now, Dylan Brooks has never had to be suspended for an indefinite period of time and go to counseling and do all of that stuff. But I also think that this stuff lands with us in maybe a more serious way than it should. I don't think the league is very worried about guys who play really physical and build names for themselves, and they play the bad guy role. You need the bad guy. What the hell, Star Wars, if all you've got is the rebellion?
Yeah, it's just a bunch of guys flying around in ships.
I think that players around the league dislike Draymond Green more than Dylan Brooks.
Same if you say fans too.
Yes. But I think that's because he's better at it. Yeah. Like Draymond, exactly. Draymond is better at getting under your skin, and then he's better at winning and looking at you and laughing.
Well, he's a better player than Dylan Brooks. I think that the league would be less inclined to support Dylan Brooks because of some of the incidents that he has been a part of where people have gotten injured.
Stand on it. Yeah. I hear that. I don't think that, I mean, look, it's not like Draymond Green hasn't been part of stuff where guys could have gotten injured.
Correct.
They just didn't. But I'm with you from the standpoint that I've always drawn a line. Like, Draymond has done plenty of inappropriate stuff. But Draymond, I don't think, in my opinion, and this may sound ridiculous, but he's never broken the code that Steve Kerr was talking about. I'm sure there are people who think he broke a different code. And I'd buy that.
Yep.
But he's never taken somebody's career and
put it in jeopardy.
Held it in the balance.
Yep.
And I have seen Dylan do that.
Yeah, we saw it, absolutely. And you know, interesting with the technical fouls as just one metric, the two of them are always among the league leaders. And Dylan actually got over 16 this year, so he did get suspended because you get 16 in the regular year, and Draymond wisely didn't get to that number. And right now, Draymond's got the edge on him in the postseason. He's got three. I think Dylan's got just the one. They each have a flagrant. So, you know, Draymond probably more at risk, considering it looks like their team might play a little bit deeper than the Rockets.
I do want to go out to the Boxer and Gerson work injury attorney's text line because 510 said, hey, guys, the rebellion was the good guys. I know. That's what I was saying.
Yeah.
The league, this is an entertainment entity. They need bad guys too. The Super Bowl, I often argue when people are like, I'm so sick of the Patriots. I'm like, perfect. Like, you need a bad guy. Like, you need someone to root against also, not just root for, right? Like, that's why the Harlem Globetrotters have to, like, throw water all over everybody. There's no bad guys. They have to be just wildly
The Washington Generals.
They're not really bad guys. They're just there.
Well, they're bad at winning.
Right.
Like the Washington Wizards.
Right, but you know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, what's more fun? When the 49ers play, who should I use here?
The Cowboys.
Well, no, that was going to be the example of the villain.
Okay.
Who's the milquetoast team?
Like the Panthers.
Yeah. What's more entertaining? Niners-Panthers or Niners-Cowboys?
Yeah.
Got to have a bad guy.
Got to.
That's the role that that Dylan and Draymond play.
How about them Cowboys? Yeah!
Draymond does it better than anybody.
Just one quick Star Wars related note, and It's not officially Star Wars because of copyright infringement, but Bart is doing something special on May the 4th.
Oh, May the 4th be with you.
They're doing like a special Bart train. It's like a BART train that's going to go all around the bay for, I think, 2 hours nonstop with with space-themed art and other activities inside. BART's trying to, like, become a fun thing, not just a transit company. No, I'm serious.
Okay.
They've done, like, a singles night, and they're doing more and more things that are just outside of just general transit. So this May the 4th special ride sold out in 90 minutes.
Oh, I bet.
All the May the 4th people, they're all in on it. So anyway, this is just a quick sidebar.
No, I'm into
May
it.
May the 4th.
I'm into it. I mean, I'm not going to go buy a ticket, mainly
well,
because
you can't now,
it's sold
but,
out anyway.
Right.
But anyway.
It sounds fun, but for me, like, let's do it for an hour. Two gets a little bit long, you know?
Well, can you get off?
No.
It doesn't stop?
Nonstop. Yeah, they're not going to stop at any station.
That's a long time on a BART train.
Yeah, and there's like a band on there, and maybe refreshments.
Yeah, we got food. Did we get food? I can stay if we get the food. You know what I mean? It was Star Wars related food.
Yeah.
I don't know what it would be.
I'm going to eat it.
Yeah.
One more quick May note.
Let's go.
NFL schedule release May 14th. So I guess it's 2 weeks from tomorrow, so we can all get excited about
May the 14th be with you.
It will be with me.
Okay.
NFL schedule coming out in 2 weeks.
Shake your head at me, Grandy.
Lucas made the same joke literally a half second before you did, and they both were bad.
That's Lucas's fault.
Both bad.
You both get a one.
You didn't turn your mic on. You have no proof.
And he was right.
Air's all I got over here, okay? I don't have the option to turn my mic off. Or just leave the show for an hour like you do.
Oh.
Huh?
That's a good point.
Sorry.
I got a tweet.
Okay.
What do you mean? You tweet from here.
Another good point. You don't have Twitter capabilities on your laptop in the studio? What are you looking around for? All right. Anyway, 888-957-9570. If you are just joining us and you're like, dude, where the hell's Steve Kerr?
Yeah.
What the hell? Steve Kerr and the Warriors, I don't want to say they arrived late to Houston. I think they arrived mostly on time. But anyway, process took a little longer than expected. Some traffic going through Houston at rush hour. They wanted to get back to the hotel. And they're just, I think, arriving shortly. And so we're going to push that thing to Thursday. And remember earlier, I was like, remind me to tell you about a text exchange.
Oh, that's right.
Where two, I think, fair-minded people can look at the exact same situation very differently. So lovely Christy was like, oh, you did Steve Kerr at 5. So I had texted her during her break. I'm like, no, because she wanted to listen. I'm like, no, traffic, whatever. And so we're going to do it Thursday. She's like, yeah, oh, no, that's great. You can do it right before game 6.
Okay. I said, is the wedding officially off? Because that is, honestly,
I was like, wait,
hold up, wait a minute.
I said, do you mean before game 1 of round 2?
Maybe she meant game 6 overall of the playoffs.
And
aggregating them.
She just wrote, yup.
Ah.
Which is dismissive. It's dismissive. I know her.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, yeah, no, that's what I meant. It's like, yeah, whatever. Whatever, bud. Whatever. Where do you want to watch the game tomorrow night?
Right. Turns out she's taking the Rockets and laying the 4. Cuckoo!
Yeah. Yeah, she should have taken the Bucks.
Yeah.
And the 8. The Bucks are up by 4 with 53 seconds left to go.
Yeah, if you're a Pacer fan, you need overtime.
Yes, you do. That happens sometimes, you know.
For you, it does.
Giannis just missed a free throw.
There you
just
go.
Just to let you know. But anyway.
Yeah, 4:30 tip tomorrow. 4:30.
Yeah.
So make sure you, and I know you mentioned it earlier, but make sure you get all of your various ducks in a row early on. That way you can lock in Dub Nation for a potential closeout
game.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, make your plans. This is not a 7 o'clock start. This is a 4:30 start. So use it as an excuse to get off work early. Or whatever, but get to wherever you're going as early as possible. 4:30 tip tomorrow night for the Rockets and the Warriors. And it is one of those, like, comfortable but not comfortable situations. We know all the numbers. If you're up 3-1, you've pretty much got it, right? Except for two things. One, we're Warrior fans, so we remember. We remember 3-1 and what that can mean. And two, when you're up 3-1, but you're not the team that had started the series with home court advantage, it can quickly feel like a very stressful situation. In other words, if the Rockets do win tomorrow night, it puts a hell of a lot of pressure on Friday night at Chase Center because you got one shot. You got one shot in your home building to close the thing out. You do not want this to go to Game 7 for so many reasons.
You don't, but...
The Warriors do not. I don't think Jimmy Butler's butt has Game 7 in him because then you got to turn right around probably with one day off. Even if you win it, you got to turn around with one day off and go start in Minnesota.
It can be tough, and teams that were up 3-1 that were forced to play a Game 7 are 22-13 all time. And I'll look at the exact home road breakdown of that, but teams who were up 3-1 still won the majority, 63% of those series against the team trying to fight back from 3-1 down.
Yeah. No. Look, the Warriors are in a wonderful spot. This is, quite frankly, it's actually funny with how much stress has gone into this series. It's actually funny how much of it has, when you look back on it, gone exactly the way many of us thought that it would. A lot of us thought, you know, game one is the easy one to steal on the road, and the Warriors in that second quarter were so brilliant and putting on a clinic, as a good friend of mine said at the time, and then off they went to steal game one. And then you get game two energy from the desperate team. You also had injury issues and two starters out in the end and all of that, and so you lose that game. And that was kind of predictable. You had said it, in fact. You're like, Rockets are going to win this game,
yep.
Game two. And then you're like, well, but the Warriors can probably defend home court. And as difficult as it was and playing one of the games without Jimmy Butler, they did it. They did it. And so now the numbers add up to what we thought, and the reason adds up to what we thought. The Warriors' experience, to me, has absolutely been the reason that they are up 3-1. Now, where does it go from here? I don't know what Houston's got tomorrow night. I wonder where their heads are at. I am more confident right now in the Warriors tomorrow night than I was at the beginning of the show. How about that?
Interesting, because I would say I'm probably less confident in Game 5.
Why?
Just because of what it took to win Game 4 and the short turnaround. They're already there, and Houston's going to play with a certain amount of desperation. And I just think that, not that the Warriors are playing with house money, because you can never have that approach in a best of 7 when you're up 3-1, and the Warriors would love to get the additional rest. And if the Lakers can beat Minnesota tomorrow as well, then you would have a rest advantage over Minnesota in the next round. I just see a Houston team that'll be playing with a certain amount of desperation and at home. It's literally their last stand.
Absolutely, but here's what I'm thinking. I think they'll come out with their incredible desperation and all of that energy, and the fans are going to be turned all the way up. But do you know how quickly this thing can sort of go on a mental switch? There's two things that I think could happen tomorrow night. If they happen early enough, they don't need to happen right away, but if they happen at all in the first half, maybe even early in the second half, I think they can turn this whole building in the Warriors' favor. Number one, if you've got Rockets that are worried about the refs, if they're worried about Draymond's talking too much, and we don't like the way that this thing is going, we're not getting the calls. The other thing that we've watched turn that building, that city is so triggered by Steph Curry three-pointers. They have so much PTSD, as their own broadcaster said. There's so much history there that if either of those things happen, if they get some tough calls or if Steph Curry is hot, I think that you could end up with a team that starts to question itself as that one gets down the stretch. And they do not want to be in a close game with the Warriors in the fourth quarter. I don't think that they will have confidence.
Well, I think that it's better for Houston to be in a close game. If they get down by 15 or more early in the game, I think that's when Houston would be in real peril, because then the self-doubt really starts to creep in. If it's a close game and you get down to the end of it and you're Houston and you're just a young team, you feel like you've been there. You've been close already with the Warriors. None of these games have been blowouts. So the closer the game stays, the more I think it favors Houston at home. Of all the series, Mark, since the expansion in 1984, actually this is all series ever, best of seven, the team that's up 3-1, they win 60% of the time in game five. So more than half of these babies, they just end in five. 60%, it ends in five. The team up 3-1 goes on to just close it out.
I wonder about home and road on that, though. I do wonder about home and road, because I would imagine most teams that are up 3-1 are the teams that had game one and two at home and therefore have game five at home. Warriors have to do this on the road. But, yeah, I like they're going to have a great shot tomorrow night. By the way, one of the things you brought up that you really wanted to ask Steve, and we can definitely ask them this on Thursday, depending on where the series is at and whatnot, but was he planning to foul on the final play with Fred VanVleet? And what was his thought process also when the Rockets went at Draymond Green directly on their final possession? So here's what was going through his head in the final seconds of the game.
Well, what was going through my head was call a timeout. You know, either way, made or missed, we wanted to get the timeout so we'd get Steph back in. You know, I just thought, you know, Dre, you know, played phenomenal defense with five fouls, you know, most of the fourth quarter he's out there. And so he did a brilliant job, and we were able to get Şengün forced out a little bit further than he'd been for most of the fourth, so it made it a tougher shot. And then, as I said, Jimmy made an amazing rebound.
Yeah, that rebound for me, going back to where we started the show, that might be, and you tell me, you were there. That sounded over the TV like that was as loud as Chase Center has ever been.
It was a humongous roar, and that was the other end of the floor. But just to see that, and then the resultant reaction, Pods is pumping the fist, and Jimmy's stalking his way down, and you see Dylan Brooks is asking, was it a timeout or what was it? And no, it was a foul, and now it's free throws. But there were a number of roars, I think, that were as loud as that, which really made me feel good about that is now somewhat of a home court for the Warriors.
No doubt. We're sponsored by Ceramani Ford. Employee pricing for all is on now at Ceramani Ford in Colma. You pay what we pay. No markups, no nonsense. Stop by Ceramani Boulevard or shop 24/7 at ceramaniford.com. Ceramani Ford, from America, for America. 888-957-9570 is the number. This is Willard and Dibbs.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more. And get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Şengün comes outside, wants the ball. Draymond denies him. Ball goes to VanVleet instead. Back to Şengün up top. Şengün dribbles on Draymond. 9 seconds, 8 seconds to the paint. Spins, jump hook for 14. It's up and no good. Rebound Butler. Butler is fouled with 4 seconds to go. Draymond got the stop when the Warriors had to have it.
Stand on it. Stand on what you say. Stand on what you do.
Bay Area, it's Draymond Green, and you're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Okay, Day-Day.
Day-Day. Day-Day.
Out to the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. 510, why do you guys, not gee, we're not gee, why do you guys keep talking about Minnesota as if they've already won? I was so confused. I had to go look it up.
You had to Google it.
Why do we hit it? Okay, so
you got to Google it.
When you're up 3-1, we start to make an assumption in life that you're going to win. It's not right 100% of the time, but almost nothing is in sports. Look, I actually think the Lakers will win tomorrow night. I do. And the Rockets might win tomorrow night. They might, for sure. Like, they're both favored to do so. Both of those teams. But do I think that the Warriors will play Minnesota in the next round? I do. Is that done? No. Is it for sure? Absolutely not. But again, the percentages when you're up 3-1 or what?
95.5.
Okay. So
13 you know what I mean? Times a team has come back from 3-1 down.
It's like when Johnny Cueto used to come to the plate, I assumed he was not going to get a hit. Because 95% of the time he didn't.
That's probably about right, too, the numbers.
Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Sorry if we're sounding a little presumptuous. I don't want to do that with the Warriors because I feel like that's bad juju. But it's a little bit easier when it's the out-of-town series.
It
yeah,
is.
I think the Warriors in Minnesota are likely to play in the next round.
And historically, it would tell you that it doesn't happen very often. And if I just go back and look at the cases where it did happen, of the 13 times a team came back from a 3-1 deficit, two of them were in the bubble. And I don't know if we're just going to not count those. The Nuggets against the Jazz first round, the Nuggets against the Clippers in the semifinals. So I do think that that's a little bit of a wrinkle because those games were all played in Orlando.
And they right and in front of no one.
Right.
So if you think that the crowd is a factor in a game, that's different. Here's the way I always look at the bubble stuff, because as you know, I've always given the Dodgers a third of a championship.
Right.
A third of a ring.
And the Lakers, and, too.
Well, no, the Lakers is different, because they actually played a full season. They
played, not quite.
Close.
Yeah.
They played a season.
They played about 66 games.
It's just a different season, and you didn't have to play road games, but so did the teams that you were playing not play road games. So, do I give them a full ring? I don't know if it's a full ring. But it's a hell of a lot closer to one than what the Dodgers did in a 50-game season. So, but yeah, you're right, and that's interesting because you don't have to deal with road situations in game sevens and all of that.
Right. And so they did it in back-to-back rounds. So that's two of the 13 times it's happened in the, it happened in the bubble. And the other two that are the most recent were the Warriors in 2016, where they snatched one and then they blew one against the Cavs. So outside of that, it's only happened nine times ever.
Ever.
So we're not advancing Minnesota, but we kind of are.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Highly likely.
95.5%.
Highly likely. Let's go to Will in the East Bay. Hi, Will. Thanks for calling.
Will, thanks for taking my call. Hey, guys, scrape the asterisk stuff off. Just please, okay? That's not why I called, though. The reason I called, the one thing I love about that game is the scrums, conflicts, Dylan Brooks, looking at Curry getting in Dylan Brooks' face. God, my God. You know, this is slap shot. Paul Newman all over again. And you know what? The Warriors are good at it, and we love watching it. But the reason the Warriors won that game, if any team was put off, it was the Rockets. Every time they went to that line, you know, especially, you know, the Turkish, you know, phenom, they screwed up. They messed up all those free throws. That was the game right there. You can look at, you know, at Jimmy, and you look at the, you know, Draymond with that great defensive play. No, no. If any team was put off more, you know, by the disruption in the scrums and the players and players' faces, it was the Rockets. And the Warriors were the benefactors of that. And that is why they won that game.
Well, you know, the beauty of it, Will, yeah, is that everybody gets to look at a game and pick the one thing that matters to them and say that's why the game went that way. I can't argue with you. The free throw line was huge in the game. The Warriors were very good at it. The Rockets weren't. But I can also pick at a bunch of other things. The one I'd like to choose is turnovers, because it has been definitive so far in this series. The team with fewer turnovers wins the game, and it happened again last night. But for me, all of these things end up in the same bucket. They're all execution related. So I think it's funny when people do that. Well, the Rockets were the better team, but they didn't execute the free throws. Well, executing free throws is part of being the better team.
It's part of basketball.
So you didn't do that, so you weren't the better team. I don't care if you got outplayed in 8 out of 10 places. You have to outplay the team in all the places if you want to win a road game in the playoffs against a really good team. Therefore, Rockets didn't do it, and therefore they didn't win.
Yeah, and you look at the final 4 minutes, and you had, I think, 2, if not 3 Rockets turnovers, 1 ill-timed 3-point shot from a guy who hadn't really been playing all night, and then the desperation 3 at the end that didn't go, and mixed in there is a Draymond Green defensive stop for the ages. So when it came to execution, the Warriors weren't perfect, and they actually missed on back-to-back trips. They weren't necessarily layups, but they were shots near the cup.
Makeable.
Jimmy had one, and Buddy had one.
At least.
Yeah, and it was like, oh, man, you know, Buddy had the one jumper in the midi, as they would say, and it rattled in and out like 4 times. So the execution wasn't perfect on all sides.
No question about it. All right, we got Triples for Autism brought to you by Pettinelli Financial Partners and the Autism Society San Francisco Bay Area. Warriors made 17 three-pointers last night. Damn right. Means another donation from Pettinelli to the Autism Society San Francisco. Pods had 6. Buddy Buckets with 3. Steph Draymond, Quentin Post, 2 each. That's the 62nd donation of the season for Triples for Autism. If you'd like to make a donation to Autism yourself or get involved, go to sfautismsociety.org, and that is Triples for Autism, brought to you by Pettinelli Financial Partners and the Autism Society, San Francisco Bay Area. Pettinelli here for you, offering financial guidance and support throughout life's milestones. Go to PettinelliFP.com. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, right?
Oh my goodness.
You didn't see it, did you?
No, I saw enough of it.
Dribbled it out of bounds. The Bucks.
The Milwaukee Bucks were up by 8 with less than a minute to go? Or was it 7?
Might have been 7.
They just lost, and Giannis's Bucks career might have just come to an end.
They were up 1, the Pacers were trying to trap, and then they were trying to foul, and Milwaukee just dribbled it out of bounds.
Right, and then Halliburton scored.
Halliburton.
And what I didn't see is then what the Bucks did next.
It was a heave.
still 17 seconds left on the clock.
Oh, then I'm talking about the possession you missed where...
No, I saw that.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman... Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Colburton scored... The right. Pacers pressed, they trapped, and then the Bucks dribbled it out of bounds off the guy's leg. And then I believe Halliburton scored again to put him up one. Right. Milwaukee desperation heave, no good, series over.
They were done.
Done.
Like this game was over.
Over.
And now it is over.
It's over.
But the other team has more points.
The Pacers.
The Pacers are moving on to the Eastern Conference semifinals. And Giannis Antetokounmpo may or may not have just played his last game with Milwaukee. Who knows? Who knows? You know what's about to happen on this radio station?
Oh, I sure do.
Do you?
Rain dance.
Damn right.
Rain dance.
It's Warriors Roundtable.
Gucci.
Kevin Dana, Gary St. Jean.
Gucci.
Full hour brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Do you want to do it again tomorrow?
I do.
Will you?
Nope.
Okay. Grandy and I, go shorty. It's game five. We will be with you tomorrow. Thank you so much for all the calls today. That was a ton of fun. For Dibs, for Grandy, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. That's all you got.